Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute walls fade away, once again, it's my pleasure to welcome the four exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back three of our senior players of the game. They've been with the show since it first began, and another regular player who set us alight with all kinds of fascinating, different, what is often called alternative humour, but they all blend together into one whole. Would you please welcome Paul Merton, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Kevin Freud? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular show is coming from the Pleasance Theatre on the Fringe at the Edinburgh Festival. And before us, we have an exciting, over-animated Fringe audience who are going to explode as we start giving of our best. And I ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them. And they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. Let us begin the show this week with Paul Merton. The subject is tattoo, and you have 60 seconds as usual, Paul, starting now.
It's rather a strain doing this show, knowing that the audience is likely to explode at any moment. Nevertheless, I regard tattoos as a kind of self-mutilation. There is a habit amongst teenage girls to have I Love Nicholas Parsons tattooed on various parts of their body, because, of course, our esteemed chairman is currently wowing them in the West End with his soft shoe shuffle, seen outside Harrods with a little hat to collect coins from the grateful passers-by.
Danny Nimmo challenge.
Yes, I think he's departed from tattoo. He's talking about you busking outside Harrods. Deviation.
Yes, I think we could interpret that as deviation, because and also the fact I haven't actually busked outside Harrods.
Thought he was more of a Selfridges man.
It's nice to have goals in life, though, isn't it?
I get no quarter from any of them, do I? There we are. I don't know why you laugh so much, but there we are. I thought for once I might have got a nice compliment. He was going to plug the fact that I was in the Rocky Horror Show in London, but he didn't, so there we are. Derek, you had a correct challenge.
What show was that again?
Which part of the title do you represent?
The horror part, of course. Derek, a correct challenge, so you have a point for that. You take over the subject. Tattoo, 30 seconds are left, starting
one of the highlights, I think, of the Edinburgh Festival, this glorious city in Scotland to which we come every year with such excitement and enthusiasm, to gaze with absolute astonishment at everything, but in particular, the tattoo. Up on the castle rocks, and a lone piper high on the battlements.
What is your challenge, Clement?
Deviation.
Why?
I there's no reason to believe the piper's high.
Clement, the audience's applause endorses the fact that that was an enjoyable challenge, for which we give you a bonus point. But as Derek was not deviating from the rules of Just a Minute, he gets...
He wasn't deviating, but he's obviously in the pay of the Scottish Tourist Board.
And one more. Derek, you get a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject. 10 seconds left. Tattoo starting now.
Tattoo is one of the few Polynesian words in the British language, brought back by Captain Cook when he came returning from...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
No, he didn't hesitate.
He couldn't remember who brought it back.
No, I think he kept going, Peter. Well tried. Derek, another point for an incorrect challenge. 3 seconds left. Tattoo starting
now. Stop on the brave. It's a wonderful
challenge.
I just wanted to see if my buzzer was working.
Bonus point to Paul Merton, and Derek gets a point for being interrupted. 2 seconds left. Tattoo starting now.
The Egyptian army took place in the 1995.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And of course it was on this occasion Derek Nimmo, and you won't be surprised to hear that he's in a strong lead at the end of that run. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Down Under.
I once went to speak at a debate in New Zealand, and the motion was, it's better to be down under than on top. Now, you could take that either sexually, socially, or politically. They, in fact, took it, as I mentioned, for the SEX. What's that?
Paul Merton Chung.
Repetition of took it.
They took it.
No,
I think you said you could take it anyway, but they took it that way. So, Derek, you keep the subject. Another incorrect challenge. 45 seconds down under starting now.
Australia and New Zealand are generally considered to be down under.
Repetition of New Zealand.
You had New Zealand.
Oh, yes, we did.
So, Paul, you've got in that time and 43 seconds to tell us something about down under starting now.
I was once working in Melbourne, Australia, and the mayoress of that particular town, I was having lunch with her. There was some sort of...
Peter Jones challenge.
It's actually a city, Melbourne.
It was a long time ago.
You don't look four sheep
at a post office when I was there.
You don't look old enough, Paul. You can't get away
with
it.
Well, I put that down to the oil of Ule.
As long as you weren't wearing that
drink
sweater.
I drink it by the pint.
Peter Jones, a correct challenge. Down Under's with you. 35 seconds starting now.
One of my really favourite places. And I remember the first Sunday I was there, the theatre manager took me for a trip up the Blue Mountains. And he stopped his car, which was a new one, on the edge of a precipice, which was a wonderful panoramic view. And he said, well, you stay in the car, have a rest, Peter. You must be tired, and I'll just stroll around. And I said, no, I want to get out. And he insisted. But then I did step onto the road outside. He slammed the door of the car, it rolled forward and went over the precipice. Crash.
Right. And Clement, you had a challenge.
Two cars.
There were two cars.
Yes.
Much earlier on, you said car and you repeated car.
Yeah. That would be two cars then, yes. Yeah.
But Clement very sportingly waited as you got to the end of the story to see if it was worth it.
It wasn't.
I know, that's why he pressed his buzzer.
Ah, well,
and he's got in now with 6 seconds to go on Down Under, starting now.
Melbourne and Sydney are probably my favourite cities down under.
So, Ken McCroy was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's in second place behind Derek Nimmer, who's still in the lead, and then it's Paul Merton.
I want to hear the music.
Has somebody got a Walkman on?
Okay. They won't be able to hear you, Nicholas, right, if they have.
I said earlier on that this particular show is coming from the Pleasance Theatre on the Fringe at Edinburgh, and if in the background you hear some very delicate music, it's not the Minute Waltz, as we have as the overture for our show. It is another show on the Pleasance which is taking place. So just know that we're being accompanied while we try and entertain you. And
just a minute, the musical.
Another bonus point to Paul Merton for that. Right, yes, we'll see if you like it better. You can write in and let us know what your reactions are. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is count. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
Count Basie comes to mind, the Count of Monte Cristo, and of course, Count Dracula.
Now,
that's a part I've always rather wanted to play.
I know. There was an Earl before the Count of Monte Cristo. So, Derek, you've got in with 53 seconds. Tell us something about Count starting now.
Count is a French title, the equivalent of an English Earl. But the curious thing is that a British Count has a Countess. But although I say that has a different titular.
Clement Freud challenge.
It's just saying the count is the French title. You can't have a British count having a countess.
It's equivalent.
It's a British earl that has a count.
Can't we settle this with a spirited song?
It was a very good cue for a song. Clement, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You have 44 seconds on count starting now.
One of the best ways of counting is to look at the audience and say there are one, two, three, four people in the fifth row, and the sixth and seventh from the left look extraordinarily like the eighth and the ninth in the 14th.
Daniel McCallum.
Hesitation.
There's a definite there, Clement. So that's hesitation. 24 seconds back with you, Count Derek, starting now.
Can you imagine fighting Mike Tyson, receiving a vast blow, and then being counted out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you could not see anything or hear anything? You'd be almost dead.
Clement Roy Charles.
Two anythings.
See anything or hear anything? Clement, you're back in on the subject of cars.
Speed into it.
I know. 13 seconds starting now.
One of the most dangerous things when you're boxing is if the referee tries to put some speed into it. And instead of counting one, two, three, four.
Paul Merton challenge.
I think we've heard a repetition of some of those numbers before.
We have.
No,
no, you did. You said
first
one, two,
second,
three, four.
First
no, no, it was. It went on to that. You said one, two, three, four to begin with, and then you went on to seconds, thirds, sevenths, and eighths. I have to listen, and that's my job. And I. So,
and if you weren't here, Nicholas, I don't know what we'd do. Train a budgerigar, perhaps.
You'd find a good four guys.
You won't get a bonus point for that one.
Why not? I'll give him one, I don't mind. 2 seconds, Paul, you've got him with 2 seconds to go on the subject of count, starting now.
One, two, three, four.
So, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point for doing so. He's equal with Clement Freud, who are 2 points together behind Derek Nimmo, and then is Peter Jones. Clement, the subject is Basil. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Basil is a herb which is green and particularly beloved by the people of Italy. An Italian salad is likely to have a red tomato, white mozzarella cheese, and then the verdancy of basil. So the flag of the Italianate people is reflected in the food that they have on their plate. Many of you might have been to the Imperial War Museum in Rome, where they have a Second World War tank, which belongs to Mussolini.
Demi Nimmo challenge.
War.
You repeated war.
Yes.
So that's you see, they do this. They look at me. I must explain to the listeners. Look at me as if to bluff me out of the fact. You can't give that against me. I definitely didn't do it. But I have to listen and have confidence in my decisions.
Even if no one else does.
27 seconds for you, Derek, on Basil, starting now.
Good old Basil Brush. Do you remember that little foxy character that we used to see on television? Derek Thole sitting next to him, and the fellow was under the table with his hand up, manipulating poor old Basil all the time. What a clever sovereign.
Peter Jones Chazzle.
Repetition of poor old.
Poor old. You had poor old before, yeah. Derek. Don't look at me like that, please. 13 seconds for you, Peter. Basil, starting now.
I got fed up with recipes that called for a handful of basil, which is an enormous quantity. So this year, I've actually grown my own, and I've been able to produce about 7 pots of it. And I didn't come away.
Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went. He's in fourth place, but only a point or two separates him from Paul Merton. Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo's just in the lead. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, breaking a leg. Will you tell us something about breaking a leg? And 60 seconds are available starting now.
Well, it's a very painful experience, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I did break my leg up here in Edinburgh in 1987. It was a rather tragic event. I'd come to the festival to do a one-man show, successfully performed for one night, and then went out and broke my leg. And I had the rave reviews that said, go and see this man. And so people would come to visit me in hospital to see how amazing and amusing I was. They would chuckle at my x-rays. They'd never seen such wit. They would watch me dribble food out of the corner of my mouth. barely recognising friends and close family as I mumbled into the terrible dream that I was having at the time. It was a ghastly, dreadful, terrible, ghastly, dreadful, dreadful, ghastly experience.
Lemon Boy, your challenge.
Yes.
Yes, you did. I think we know why. 14 seconds. Breaking a leg, starting now.
Technically, breaking a leg is wrong. You break bread and you carve a leg. If it's lamb, beef, mutton or pork, you do so by sharpening the knife and cutting against the grain, which is...
Clement Foyt speaking as the whistle. Wendt gained that extra point, and he's creeping up on our leader. He's only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo. And Derek, your turn to begin. Derek, the subject is pipes. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, the city of Edinburgh at the moment is positively pipe-ridden. Every time you go down the court, there's some bedraggled fellow pouring away with his pipes.
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, yes. Paul. Pipes, and you have 52 seconds starting now.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, pipes are calling. Because, of course, Daniel was a plumber, and he would hear this noise and realise that the terrible rumbling coming from within the pipes meant they had to be lagged for the winter. Why somebody should bother writing a song about this individual, I've really no idea, but it has been passed from hand to mouth over the years. And we have listened to this great tuneful melody, and I'm sure there's not a person here in the audience who hasn't sung this particular ditty at least once today as they've walked up the Royal Mile, bemusing tourists as they go. I think that's one of the great tricks of Edinburgh, is to confuse the Americans and tell them all kinds of nonsense. They go along...
Paul Merton took the subject of pipes, and with his flair and flamboyance kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's equal in second place with Clement Foyt, only 1 point behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. Peter Jones is training a little, and it's his turn to begin. And the subject is Birkenhair, another Edinburgh association there. Will you tell us something about those two characters in this game, starting now?
A very unsavoury couple who used to dig up bodies from the cemetery and then sell them to Dr. Knox, who used to dissect them. And in a way, they made a great contribution to medical science. But they ran out of these people in the cemetery.
Nimmo,
hesitation.
There's a lot of hesitation there, yes.
Cadaver was the word I was trying to
remember. I know. What was the word, Peter?
Cadaver, or I never know quite how to pronounce it.
You say cadaver, I say cadaver.
You're trying to confuse the Americans again now, you fool. 43 seconds. Burke and Hare with you, Derek, starting now.
William Burke and Bill Hare were indeed Irishmen who came to this fair city of Edinburgh and went into this rather curious trade of actually murdering people and taking the bodies and flogging them to Dr. Robert Knox, who was frightfully pleased to have a new subject to dissect. But the people didn't really go along with it. They thought it was taking private enterprises too far.
Paul Merton jumped.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was hesitation. Burke and Hare is with you now, Paul. 22 seconds starting now.
Burke and Hare were, of course, one of the first midnight shows on the Fringe in the early days, and people would go along to see the corpses being dragged out of the ground. There were some jugglers nearby as well, and people painting faces for the children.
Clement Foyt challenge.
Two people.
Yes, there were too many people there, Paul. 9 seconds on Burke and Hare with you, Clement, starting now.
In the evenings, Burke and Hare used to sit in Mungo Park, wondering what to do about the Niger. They had an awfully good chance.
As the whistle went, and he's now in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo, and then just behind Paul Merton and Peter Jones in that order. And Chris, there's a little Edinburgh ditty about Burke and Hare. What was it? Up the close and down the stair, Ben the hoose of Burke and Hare. Burke's the butcher, Hare's the thief, and Knox the boy, you buys the beef. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is digs. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
Digs is short for diggings and means theatrical, usually accommodation. But in Edinburgh it isn't like that. People who live in this fair city leave Scotland altogether while the festival is on and rent their flats and houses for huge sums of money, which performers who are on the fringe or in the main theatre of the...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of Fringe.
Yes, you mentioned the Fringe before. Clement, 37 seconds are available for you to tell us something about digs. Paul, starting now.
Archaeologists are people who go on digs. They're intensely interested in digging up something from the past. Oh, look, there's a ring pull can that's got last Wednesday's date on it. We must take it to the British Museum. I personally can't be bothered too much about what happened in the past. I'm really much more...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of past.
Yes, you mentioned the past before. Peter, you've got in with 20 seconds to go on the subject of digs, starting now.
Mrs. McNabb, for Brome Place, Edinburgh, kept the best digs in this country or the other country down south. She was one of the...
Clement Freud challenged.
Two countries.
There were two countries. 11 seconds. Digs with you, Clement, starting now.
Any person who's a bit short of money could do far worse than go to the Steels at Ettrick Bridge, who put up all sorts of strange people for hardly...
Paul Merton Challenge.
The position of people.
Yes, there were too many people. You made it before, Clement, I'm afraid. You got in, Paul, cleverly, with half a second to go on digs, starting now.
A shovel?
Yes, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal with Clement Freud in the lead. And I agree with you, Peter. Mrs. McNabb did have the best digs in the whole of the country. I stayed with the dear lady. She was over 80, she'd had a vasectomy, and she ran around...
I had a vasectomy?
Oh, no, sorry.
Slightly more than a vasectomy if her name was Mrs. Yeah. McNabb.
She had these wonderful books of all the stars that signed for her.
I never got to know her that well.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, the best things come out by accident, don't they? Paul, it's your turn to begin. A full house. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
Well, this is something you get in bingo. All the sixes, 66, and various calls like...
Clement Freud challenge.
I think that could be a repetition of six.
All the sixes, 66.
That's what he said. That's not repetition. I'm sorry, Clement.
Well, watch it.
An incorrect challenge, Paul. Another point to you. You have the subject still. A full house starting now.
All the eights, etc. You know, it's a very popular game, although I really...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of all the...
All the... Clement, it's tough at the top there. You're still equal pegging. A full house is the subject. You have 51 seconds, starting now.
If you have a full house in poker, you beat a pair, two pairs.
Peter Jones challenge.
It did seem a bit of a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Yes, he was trying to go through between a pair and two pairs. There was a definite hesitation. Right, 46 seconds. A full house, Peter, starting now.
It's something that many actors don't experience except at Christmas, when all their relatives visit them. But there are other occasions.
There is never a drop. There was a hesitation. There are two, Peter.
I speak very slowly.
37 seconds, Derek. A full house starting now.
Well, the reason we have a full house at the Edinburgh Fringe is quite obvious. It's because it's free. We don't get anybody to come at all. If we were charging 50p, nobody'd turn up. As it is a full house now, we know that we are without value. That is why they've arrived. Rather than see the excellent shows we hear, who would actually pay to witness Nicholas Parson? I would not for one. Although I did. See him actually doing his one-man show, which is an extraordinary sight. I saw the lovely theatre here in Edinburgh with some chums.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of Edinburgh.
Yes, you mentioned Edinburgh before. 7 seconds. Tell us something about a full house starting now.
I have got in my house at the moment 15 young Arab boys who are there for my own personal amusement.
Why you should share his devious thought with those Arab boys, I don't know. But he was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's taken the lead just ahead of Clement Freud, and only just behind is Derek Nimmo and then Peter Jones. And Derek Nimmo, we're moving into the last round. It still could be anybody's contest. And a buttonhole is the subject. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Buttonhole or nosegay was something which I always used to sport. I used to go many years ago to the Dorchester Hotel, and just inside there's a wonderful little flower booth, and it always had a clove-coloured flower that I wanted, a carnation in fact. Had a glorious smell. It's funny, you know, that those particular plants don't actually have a smell anymore. It's a great show. That's perhaps why I don't wear a buttonhole. The other reason for calling it a buttonhole is that some people used to come along, they used to shove their thumb inside your buttonhole and pull you towards them. That was what was called buttonholing, and they would speak very closely to you about some subject of no particular import or interest, but you couldn't get away from them. So don't be buttonholed by Nicholas Parsons if you see him. He will go for you. I warn you, ladies and gentlemen, don't laugh, please. He is an extrovert. He is a cad as well, of course. But he will go towards you and
One million challenge.
A repetition of he is A.
He is A, yeah. I should think so. Whatever he said, I'd have given it against him, actually. The idea that I'd go and buttonhole his audience, I might have chat them up, especially the more attractive ones. And I would chat up the unattractive ones, because, I'm...
desperate.
You have 15 seconds to tell us something about buttonhole, Paul, starting now.
Derek's quite right. You don't see buttonholes as often as you used to. It seems that the fashion amongst modern tailors is not to incorporate this particular feature into the suits that they make these days. I really don't know why this should be the case.
And nobody could have put a buttonhole into your psychedelic sweater anyway, Paul.
It represents the rings of Uranus.
Paul Merton was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he increased his position at the end of the round and at the end of the contest. Let me tell you that it was a very even contest. They all contributed a great deal. They all didn't get quite the same number of points, but out in the lead, just 5 ahead of all the rest, was Paul Merton. So, Paul, you have triumphed once again in Edinburgh. Paul Merton. To thank our 4 intrepid and outrageous players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo. Also thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score for us, and also Ian Messiter for thinking out the game, which we all enjoy playing so much. And above all, thank our producer, Anne Jobson. From them and from our audience here, we do hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll tune in again next time we take the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye! Thank you.